good to see you all today. You guys have a good Christmas. Who got what they wanted for Christmas this year? Anybody? Is there somebody that's getting a dog soon? Oh man, it was a good time. I had a good Christmas as well. It's good to be with you. Happy Sunday. This is the last Sunday of the year. And guys, did you know that? If you're in church on the last Sunday, there's like a special seat for you in heaven. Today, this Sunday and the Sunday where it's the, you change the clocks, like the New Year's, what is that called? Spring forward or something? Where like there's a one less hour of sleep. Those two Sundays are like the times you get like a Nexus pass to heaven. Oh man, I remember my dad said that once when he was preaching. I'm like, that is such a golden line. I love that. I love New Year's. It's a fun time, you know, as we await, you know, 2025. One thing I'm always reminded about New Year's is New Year's resolutions. Do we got any resolutioners in the house? A couple of brave people? Okay. It's fun. I've done New Year's resolutions in the past. Have they been successful? Sometimes, not always. I feel like many people have this desire to have New Year's resolutions. It's fun. It's like a time where we can really, a New Year is almost like a fresh start, right? You know that saying like, new year, new me, or man, like this is going to be my year, like 2025, like this is the year I do this, you know, so on and so forth. I saw this funny stat, and I got a bit curious. I'm like, how many people that actually set resolutions actually like do them? Because it's one thing to actually say it, but there's another thing to actually do it, right? And I saw it. So only 9% of people that say they want to set a New Year's resolution actually complete it for the whole year. 25% usually only last about 1 month, and then I don't want to bore you with many other stats, but I found that so funny. Only less than 10% of people actually follow through. And one thing I'm reminded about New Year's resolutions is you have to have a willingness to actually do it, right? You actually got to want to do it. Like for me, I've had New Year's resolutions in the past where I'm like, I'm going to like eat a little more healthy. I like sugary drinks. So I'm like, I got to cut down on the soda. Or for me this year, since I've moved here, I'm like, I got to stop eating so many cinnamon buns from Grounds for coffee. Can I get an amen to that? Daniel, you show me those and I'm about to get diabetes or something like that. Another New Year's resolution that I have is, since my wife is Spanish, I think it would be good for me to like actually try to learn a little more Spanish. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I think I should learn. We were at my parents' house a couple of days ago, and me and my brother, we had like a Spanish contest. So Maya was the judge, and we're like, okay. I was like, okay, what words? Like, you say word in Spanish, and we'll guess it. And then like, we both were pretty even. And then at dinner time, my mom was like, my brother's name is Zach. He's like, and Zach like knew way more words than you in Spanish. I'm like, Christine, whose side are you on? Like, what do you say? It takes a real willingness, right? It's not always the easiest thing to see it through on these New Year's resolutions. And today I want to look into a passage of scripture that when I look at it, I see this character whose name is Bartimaeus. Spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about Bartimaeus. And this guy, he had this tenacious faith and this willingness to essentially go out of his comfort zone to receive the miracle that he was so desperately longing for. And so if you have a Bible, or if you like to just look up on the screen, which I like to do personally, we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 46 to 52. So I'll give you a second to turn there. You guys ready for the word this morning? Amen. I'm excited. It's going to be wonderful. So if you got it, let's go right into it. It says Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52, I'm reading in the ESV. It says this, and they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called him, and the blind man saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? Which is kind of a funny question. And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. I want to preach from the subject, blind faith. Somebody say, blind faith. Let's pray. Jesus, we just come before you this morning. We recognize that this is a holy moment, that whenever we get to open your word, Lord, you always want to speak. And so, Jesus, would your voice be the loudest in the room? Holy Spirit, would you illuminate the person of Jesus? And I pray that when we leave this place, would we have this fresh glimpse of who you are, Lord. God, anybody is here is carrying bondage, the weight of sin, shame, whatever it may be, Lord, I just pray that those things would break off today. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave this place and as we approach this new year, God, I ask that you would give us a fresh perspective to see you for who you truly are. Jesus, we love you and we praise your holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So as we look into the story, it's important to get a little bit of context. I don't want to bore you with too many details, but there's some important things to kind of know going into it. So what we do know is that in the previous chapter, Jesus was transfigured. So this was the moment where his disciples got to see him for who he truly was. He's not just some random guy who can heal people, but he's actually the Messiah. He is God. And then we know that Jesus and disciples are leaving Jericho, which was this city located about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. So they're on this trek. And man, 15 miles is actually, that's a long ways. It's like almost a marathon. So they're just casually going from one city to the next. And so they're on their way to Jerusalem. And this is where Jesus would end up facing his passion. So this is where he would face the cross, right? This is where he would get beaten on the cross. This is the monumental moment for him. All of this is kind of leading up to this moment. And here we see in the story of Mark, we see this beautiful scene that is painted by Mark where there's this large crowd and there's these people and then there's this character who's Bartimaeus. It's a super fascinating story. So what's there to know about Bartimaeus? It's important to really kind of understand this. So we know that he's a guy. We know that he's a blind beggar, which is like, if you want to be referenced in the Bible, that's awesome, right? But like, if you're known as the blind guy who's a beggar, maybe not the best thing to be known by. So we know that he's a blind beggar, and the Bible doesn't talk much more, but as the story plays out, we'll discover this incredible faith that Bartimaeus has. But we'll get there in a second. The text also talks about how he's the son of Timaeus, which is also a bit of an interesting detail. We'll jump into that as well. So he has no identity for himself. He's only known by being the son of somebody else. It's so fascinating. So we know that he's blind, and it's important to remember in this day and age, they have some skewed ways of thinking, and people believed in this day that blindness wasn't just something that you were, that was like something that you were born with or something that you would have, but it's actually, people believe that if you were blind or if you had a physical ailment, that you were actually being punished by God. So we have this guy named Bartimaeus who's blind, he's a cripple, and people when people would see him, they would think, oh, this guy did something wrong to receive this terrible illness of being blind. So people in this day believed that as a result of sin, it would lead to physical impairment. He wasn't just blind physically, but he was this he was this social outcast. Bartimaeus was accustomed to darkness and to loneliness. Bartimaeus knew what it was like to be a beggar, and that's about it. But we know that he has this incredible faith. It's an amazing story. He would have been ostracized, looked down upon, overlooked, and cast aside. Bartimaeus would have known what it was like to be alone and isolated and by himself. I'm reminded so often pain can cause us to lose hope, right? You know, when you go through something, a trial, or you're experiencing some difficulty in your life, it can really cause you to take the wind out of your sails, right? But I'm reminded, and as I look into the story, Bartimaeus has this bold, blind faith. That's so captivating and so inspiring. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I need some faith. My faith meter has been running a little low, and I just want to encourage you what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's such a good verse, right? You probably have heard that one before. There's this There's a real joy in waiting on the Lord. It's not always the most flashiest thing, but it says in Scripture that the Lord will renew your strength. Bartimaeus, he waited for his miracle. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Bartimaeus. Not in the sense of I'm poor and I'm blind, but I want some faith like Bartimaeus, and I hope we can leave this place kind of feeling that same aspect as well. So today I really want to ground this kind of conversation we're having on kind of three simple kind of topics about things we can learn from Bartimaeus. So let's get right into it. So the first point that we can learn from Bartimaeus is sometimes you have to get a little bit desperate to see deliverance. Verse 47, it reads, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" It's cool. It really, when you look at the story and when you really see the addressing that's taking place, he's saying, "Son of David." Typically, in the Gospel of Mark, this is not something that was really common that Jesus would be known as. We know that in Mark, it was mostly the Son of Man, and Matthew kind of would use the term more of Son of David, kind of more for his Jewish audience. So this Son of David, this terminology that Bartimaeus is using, shows this deep Christological commitment and understanding of who Jesus truly is. So he may be blind, but he's actually pretty smart, so that's another detail that we can also learn about Bartimaeus. The text is revealing that Bartimaeus does in fact believe that Jesus is the coming Messiah. He hasn't seen him, but he's heard. He's heard from probably voices as he's been sitting on the roadside. Maybe there's been some murmuring that has taken place. Bartimaeus believes that Jesus is the coming Messiah. This is the first time that there's this addressing that takes place. Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is approaching. And what does he do? He calls out. And he uses the only thing that he really has, right? He can't see. He's an outcast, but he has his voice, right? His voice is what he would use to get people's attention, to essentially beg for money and get things. He's using his voice. He's using the only thing that he has to get Jesus' attention. And it's important to realize he couldn't get up and you know, politely weave through the crowd. You know, he couldn't like do the Canadian thing like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm right behind you." You know, he couldn't do one of those things like, you know what I'm talking about? He couldn't weave through all sophisticated and smoothly. He had to just shout because he's blind, right? He can't see where he's going. And remember, there's this huge crowd also. And so it's important to realize that Bartimaeus, he only could use his voice. Bartimaeus addresses Jesus and shouts at the top of his lungs, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Friends, sometimes you have to get a little bit desperate. Sometimes you have to go out of your comfort zone a little bit to receive the miracle that you're contending for. I wonder, maybe in this new year, as we approach 2025, it's an exciting time, or maybe for you it's just another normal thing, but for me, I think it's a pretty exciting time, a new year. Maybe this is the year in your own walk with Jesus where you can get a little desperate, where maybe you've been contending for a miracle for a long time. Maybe there's a prodigal that you've been praying for. There's a sickness that you're believing God wants to heal. Maybe this is the year that you could begin to pray with a little more tenacity, with a little more faith. Doesn't mean you have to shout at Jesus, but maybe you could do a little bit more. Bartimaeus is teaching us that sometimes you gotta shout, you gotta do something a little extra. So point number one, and our second point that we're gonna jump into today is don't worry about what other people may think, which sounds a little cliche, but it reminded me of this story. So I gave my life to Jesus when I was 19, and I went to YWAM, which a lot of you have probably heard of, and our team, essentially it's like a missions organization. So we went on a missions trip to the Philippines. Has anybody been to the Philippines here before? A couple here, Tony has. Anybody else? Any Philippine people? Okay, a couple hands, nice. That's awesome. So Filipino people are wonderful. And so we had this opportunity of preaching there. We had to share the gospel in schools. We got to do street evangelism. But another part of our ministry that we did was we got to do prison ministry. And that's something that when you first, you know, start following Jesus, I grew up in church, but wasn't really real for me. And prison ministry is something that will definitely can be a little scary when you first hear it. And so what we would do is we would essentially like host like a church service. So I was a part of a team of about 9 people, and we would have people that would pray and people that would sing and lead songs. And there'd be like a preacher, and usually it was like our team leader that would preach, because we were all like kind of rookies, I guess, if you will. But our worship leader was sick this day, so she wasn't available. And I've like told the team that I like to sing. You know, I'm not like the best singer in the world. Holly, don't take this the wrong way. I shouldn't be on the stage, but singing is fun. I like to sing and give praise to Jesus, and in the shower. That's pretty much it. But the team's like, you know, this person, her name is Sarah. So it's like, Sarah's sick, so somebody's got to step up. And I was like, all right, guys, who wants to step up? Who wants to lead worship today? I'm like, there's like this guy on my team. His name is Matt. He's like, man, I thought you like to like do worship sometimes. I was like, I think you're thinking of another bet. I don't know who you're talking about here. He's like, no. Yeah, and then they all kind of started talking, you know, one voice starts, and then they all start saying, yeah, Ben, you should lead worship in this Filipino prison to these inmates. And I was like, man, this is not what I signed up for. I go to Australia, I want to be in the sun, I want to be at the beach, I don't want to sing to prisoners in the Philippines. But I don't know, I felt like this kind of, I don't say conviction, but like, I felt like I just needed to do it. I'm like, I should just do it. I'm like, what do I got to lose? I'm in the Philippines, I'm never going to see these guys again. I knew that I'd see my team, so I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to ever see these guys. I'll lead some songs. I'll sing. So I had a mic. There was a guy that was playing the djembe drum. No, the cajon. That's the thing you sit on, right? And there was a guitar player, and then there was me singing. And they're like, Ben, you got to go and like pray first and get some songs. So I like, you know, I'm like, I don't even know how to do this. So I like went to this other room, and like, I'm like, hey, I went on my phone. And I'm like, what are like the most popular songs that like are on my phone? Like Reckless Love by Corey Asbury. What a Beautiful Name. And then there was like one other song. I can't remember what it was. I picked those songs and led worship in a Filipino prison. If I ever play, what's that game? Never Have I Ever. I'm getting everybody on that one. Sometimes you got to do something and you can't really always worry about what other people may think. No matter what you may feel like you sound like, maybe the Lord isn't asking you to lead worship in a crowded room of Filipino dudes, but maybe God is asking you to do something. And sometimes we as Christians, we have this opportunity to stand out, and we shouldn't worry about what others may think all the time. I know it sounds kind of like an elementary thing to say, but it really is true. When we follow Jesus, sometimes we have to sometimes maybe look a little crazy too. Verse 48, it says, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more. So you just picture the scene that's taking place. So there's this big crowd, and Bartimaeus is sitting off to the side. He's probably laying on the ground somewhere, and he's probably not looking the most presentable, and he's yelling. I don't know if you guys have like ever walked through like downtown and you see like a yelling homeless person. I don't know about you, but like I'm not really looking at him. I'm like, please don't attack me. Like, I don't know what he's got in his pocket. You know what I mean? I'm sure I'm not the only one. There's sometimes I feel we have the tendency to push those people aside, but I love Bartimaeus. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's persistent. He's yelling. He's saying it again. Son of David, have mercy on me. And then Jesus, he hears this voice. It's interesting. I love those moments where Jesus is a lot of time he's surrounded by a crowd of people. I think of the story when he's walking and he feels the woman touching his cloak and he's like, stop, somebody touch me. It's like, of course, Jesus, there's like 20,000 people around you. Here's another instance where it's like there's a group and then he hears this voice. I guess it was a loud voice, but he hears it out of nowhere. It's so captivating. It's crazy to think. Bartimaeus only had his voice, but he made sure good use that he was going to use whatever he had. Bartimaeus knew that this was his day. Bartimaeus knew that nothing was going to keep him quiet. He knew who Jesus was. He knew that he was going to receive this miracle, and he wasn't going to let anybody look down upon him. I guess he wouldn't really know anyways because he's blind, but he wasn't going to let anybody look down upon him. He didn't care what anybody thinks. He was there, and he wanted to receive his miracle. When I think about it, as I read the story and as I ponder this, I wonder if you maybe think the same. If he would have listened to the crowd, he wouldn't have received his sight that day, right? If he would have listened to the opinions of other people, he would still be blind, begging, living as a social outcast, But no, he was persistent. He was yelling. He got Jesus' attention. And he's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Something pierced the atmosphere, his voice, amidst the chaos. I love it. Today we're talking about some lessons that we can learn from Bartimaeus, but I love this lesson that we can learn also from Jesus. And it's this, you know, he's on this road to Jerusalem, right? I remember at the beginning I talked about how, you know, this is kind of all the miracles he's done, all the healings he's done, all the teachings that he's taught to his disciples and to the people. Those are all incredible things, but how many of us know that teaching didn't make him a savior? It was the fact that he died and rose again, right? And so this is all leading up to that moment. So this is kind of the culmination of all these events. And I love how Jesus, he takes the time for a blind Bartimaeus. He takes the time. He knew that there was somebody that was on the road that needed a touch from him. Jesus knew the need that Bartimaeus had. I'm sure before he even said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Time and time again, I'm reminded that we can never be too busy. We can never be too occupied to love and to serve people. Doesn't always mean preaching on the corner of a street or you know, praying for healing for somebody, but we all have gifts and talents that God has given us, and we can use our gifts to serve him and to serve his kingdom. So often, busyness is our excuse. I heard this quote from Craig Barnes, who's an author, and I believe he's a former theologian of Princeton Theological Seminary, and he said this really captivating quote I want to share with you. He says, busyness is a lazy thing. It avoids the hard work of attending to the soul's yearning for mercy. It avoids the hard work of attending to the soul's yearning for mercy. We are never, church, hear me out, we're never too busy to be on mission for Jesus. We're never too busy to do something where we step out of our comfort zone. I'm including myself in this too. I definitely want to grow in this as well. So this is for all of us here today. We're never too busy. And the last point that I want to kind of unpack today from lessons that we can learn from the faith of Bartimaeus is point number three. And I just have throw it off. Sometimes you got to throw it off. Somebody say throw it off. It's an interesting detail in the text, as you see on the screen behind me. Verse 50, it says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. You may read that and think, cool, what does that mean? What's the point of that? It's an interesting detail. When you look into it, it's pretty fascinating. So in the first century, so in this kind of time frame, if you were medically certified to be blind or a cripple, or whatever kind of ailment you have, or leprosy, or maybe not leprosy, but for sure blind or a cripple, you were given this special cloak so people wouldn't know that you were faking it. You were given this special cloak so people would know that you're not just an imposter trying to get money, but you could totally work yourself. You were given this cloak as almost like it was a part of your identity. And like in addition to this, it's important to realize that this cloak would have also been used probably as a blanket for Bartimaeus. He would have used it to he would sit on the ground and he would put it before him and he'd use that to collect money. So this was everything for him. This was his identity that the society put upon him. This was the comfort that he had. This was the way that he would make money. The text says he threw off his cloak. He threw off his cloak. Imagine that, the coat. This was a symbol that he couldn't work, couldn't see. He had nothing to contribute to society. This coat is a true depiction of what bondage is. This coat is Bartimaeus' cage. This cloak is Bartimaeus. But what does he do? He persistently yells to Jesus to get his attention. Then he throws his cloak aside. He throws his cloak aside and runs to him. I'm sure he probably bumped into a people along the way, you know, because he can't really see anything right yet. But he had this faith before he even was healed. It wasn't like Jesus like healed him and then he got up and threw off his coat and then he went on his way. It was like, no, Jesus has come. He's called me. I'm going to throw all of these things, my old way of life, I'm going to throw it off to the side and I want to get a glimpse of who Jesus is. Bartimaeus was tired of being tired. He was tired of the begging. He was tired of being labeled as a cripple. He was tired of being an outcast of society. He was tired of who he was. When we encounter Jesus, he completely changes and transforms our lives. And as we see in the story, and as we continue to read forward, we know that Bartimaeus receives his healing. He throws off his old self. I love that. Kind of going back to New Year's, right? You know, a new year, you know that saying, new year, new me, like this is my year, right? I remember we talked about that a bit. New Year's resolutions, this kind of going off with the old ways and doing something new. You got a fresh start, right? This is Bartimaeus. This is him throwing off his old and embracing the new. It's probably not a new year, but he's embracing this new way of living. It got me thinking as I read this text, God is always speaking to me too as I'm studying and learning the scriptures. But I want to ask you a question today, and I want to include myself, and it's this: what cloak have you been wearing that needs to come off? What's your cloak? It's kind of an interesting question. What are you carrying? What are you holding? What is your identity? How are people looking at you? What's something that you need to throw off to the side? I'm reminded of what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. I love how it says throw off. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and protector of our faith. Friends, as we approach this new year and as we close soon and as we take communion in a few moments, what do you need to surrender to the Lord today? What do you need to get rid of? What is your cloak? What is this garment that you may be wearing that you may not even be aware of it? Maybe you can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what that could be in your own life. But before we do, I love Bartimaeus' response to receiving his sight. If you continue forward in Mark 10, 51 and 52, it says this: and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you, right? It's like this super like funny question, like, Jesus, you're the savior of the world, you know everything, and yet a blind man is coming up to you and he's asking, what do you want me to do? I find that so funny. And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. I love how Jesus says, go your way, meaning I've healed you. Forget this old way of living. Do your own thing. But instead, Bartimaeus is like, no, I'm not going to do my own thing. The text says, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. He followed him. He followed Jesus. He followed him. He didn't do his own thing, but he followed Jesus. Bartimaeus got up. Jesus didn't say, come follow me, but what does Bartimaeus do? He follows him anyways. He follows Jesus. As this new year approaches and as this holiday season kind of comes to an end, as we approach this January of 2025, can I just encourage us, of people of Redemption Church, can we spend time with Jesus in this new year? Can we follow him? Can we read the scriptures? Can we spend time in his presence? I implore all of us, we as believers, to get to know this person who is Jesus, the one who, when people hear about his arrival, they throw off their old way of living and they run to him, believing in full faith that they will receive the healing. And I'm reminded one of the ways where we can put Jesus first is through being reminded of what he did on the cross for us. And so I want to just transition into a time as we prepare for communion. One of the things that we do here at Redemption is we really believe in the power of remembering what Jesus did on the cross. There is real power in the blood and in the body that was shed on the cross. The blood is this atoning sacrifice for our sins, meaning we are completely washed. I'm reminded of that verse: though our sins were scarlet, he made us as white as snow. Whiter than my white pants right now. The power of his body so that we may never taste the eternal sting of death. If you are serving communion, I'd like to invite you to come up here as we partake together.